chapter 4. We have been studying the life of Paul. We'll be continuing on that for a pretty good amount of time. The life of Paul. And I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 4. But I want to review a little bit of last week, what we talked about, just to get you back into it, because we're continuing the lesson. We might do one more week of underneath the life of Paul. We're on the fourth lesson, but underneath that is Paul's ministry. And last week we were talking about Paul's ministry, what it was like and how he did things. And so last week, as we said, it was just a few things. It was a God-called ministry. He was called by God. We said it was a Spirit-led ministry. He let the Holy Spirit be his teacher and guide and guide him in what he was to do. And then we said it was a local church ministry. And I think that's an important thing. I think most of us know that we should be called by God to do things and then be led by the Holy Spirit. But I do think also that the local church part that we talked about last week, the local church pattern of the Bible, is an important pattern that God chose to use. And the church is important. And it's certainly under attack, and the devil's certainly working hard on that, saying, oh, it's no big deal, and you don't need to be part of church. It doesn't matter what church you go to. And if you just go to church at home, it's fine. And all this stuff that's not biblical, where God says be a body part and be connected and be there all the time. And I don't think you go to church lightly. I think you be very dedicated to attend church because they did in the Bible every day. I think that's a big part. But I think also, I don't think you leave a church lightly either. I think you become a body part. Being removed from a body is very, very serious. And there's a time when God moves you, or the church goes away from God, or you by God's plan, you go to a different area. I mean, I switched churches when I went to Bible college, but it was, my pastor knew about it. He approved of it. It was all solid and good, and then the leadership of God. But church hopping is not good, and we live in a church hopping generation. People are faithful to anything. We have wife hopping generation. Everything hopping. We're not loyal to anything. But I think that it goes beyond loyalty. I think it goes into being a body part. And when God baptizes you into a body, and puts you as a part of a body of a church, and you know that, you say, "This is my church. I'm supposed to be here. I'm part of this." Then God's put you there. You don't undo that. That's not something you undo. That's something where God says you have to do this for something greater. And by the way, I don't like linear moves, just swapping. You have to, you're in a sinking boat, okay, hop off the sinking boat, but don't just go from one boat to the other. And so the local church ministry, and then having a pastor, having deacons, having that, being part of it. In the church, God said you can bind things on earth and in heaven. A local church can, Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. That the local church has authority to remove somebody from Christian fellowship and say, you are now a heathen. You're removed from the church. And yet people nowadays think, well, I can go to this church and leave church for a while, and I don't really need church, and I can go to church myself with me and Jesus at home. And this is all sounds spiritual, but it's all totally unbiblical. Paul's church is a local church ministry. And read the book of Acts, you'll find the local church is everything. And that's how everybody's involved in a local church, and they plant local churches, and that's God's way. And the fastest way the devil gets you gone will get you away from your local church, isolated as a Christian, and then you're a goner. And then you'll just be a mediocre, wish you could be spiritual, have spiritual desires, but aren't spiritual, and don't know why you can never have victory, because you're not part of a body. And fingers or ears or toes or noses don't do good without being part of a body. They kind of die. And so you got to be part of your local body. So it's a local church ministry, and that's important. Next, so we're continuing Paul's ministry, Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 13. And you know how through infirmity of the flesh, and we'll get back to that a little later, I preach the gospel unto you at first. I want you to know Paul was suffering when he started the churches in Galatia. Galatia is not a church. Galatia is a region, and he started several churches there. And he says, through the infirmity of the flesh, I preach unto you, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. where is then this blessedness you speak of? This is part of the book I'm writing. This will be part of a chapter here. Paul, when he went and started the churches, he said, this is what we've wanted. You are an angel of God. Thank you so much for bringing us the gospel and your suffering. And we think that Paul might have had an eye problem, that it might have been his infirmity in the flesh. And he says, you guys are willing to pluck your own eyes out and give them to me if you could. And I preached unto you with great suffering. And they loved him. And then what happened is people came in and brought in false doctrine. And all of a sudden, when they changed, Paul was no longer a good guy. And so Paul's trying to save them from ruining their eternity because they are leaving Christ and going to a work salvation, back to work salvation. So Paul's trying to save them. In verse 15, where's the blessedness you speak of? For I bear your record, if it had been possible, you'd have plucked out your own eyes and had given them unto me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Little children, of whom I am travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. I wish I could express just how broken I am and how much I care, for I stand in doubt of you. Let's pray. We'll talk about Paul's ministry here. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray we'd understand context and truth and have wisdom to see what you're saying. I pray we'd understand Paul's ministry and that we would not just admire him, but follow him as he followed Christ. And please speak now through the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say about Paul's ministry is Paul's ministry was a hard-working ministry. A hard-working ministry. Verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I don't know. I don't know where I've seen harder work in my life than a woman having a baby. I've seen hard work, and I've worked hard, but I'm glad I don't have to work that hard. I've been in that delivery room 7 times, and that's some hard work. And let me tell you, Paul says, I travail in birth with you until Christ be formed in you. That's hard work. It's hard work. I hate seeing my wife go through that. I'd rather be down in the waiting room smoking a cigarette. Sitting there in the waiting room, and I'd much rather be down there. But it's good to be there with my wife and go through that with her and have her break my hand while she squeezes it. That's the hard part. I say, honey, quit squeezing so hard. This hurts. No, don't say that, men. You'll be in bigger trouble. And you bring a rubber hand, and you put it in your sleeve there, and you hold it out, and she thinks it's your hand. And it works great. I bought that after the first birth. Paul says, when I'm trying to win you to Christ and make you become like Jesus and till Christ is formed in you, I travail in birth. That's hard work. He worked very long hours, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 9. 1 Thessalonians 9. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 9. He says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we'd not be chargeable unto you, we preach the gospel unto you. Laboring night and day. So it's long hours. It's hard work. Paul's ministry is a very hard-working ministry. Instead of Jesus, it said they had to go into the wilderness to rest because there was much coming and going, and they're very weary. And they went to the wilderness, and 5,000 people followed him out and said, we need food. And he had to go and feed all of them. Then he was even more weary. And the ministry can be like that. Long, long hours and hard work. And did that. Brother Jim Vineyard, old school guy, and I guess he's probably in his 80s now. He's still alive. Still takes missions trips at 80. And a godly man in Oklahoma City. His son now, who's a missionary, pastors the church, and he's still there and very busy in the ministry. He was a bus director, and he was in charge of all the bus routes, many, 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 many dozens of bus routes. at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And he had a young man come to him and say, I cannot seem to get very many people on my bus. He says, I can't seem to get a lot of people there, and I try, and I can't do it. He says, can you come with me and tell me what I'm doing wrong or what I can do more, because I don't know anything else to do. So Brother Vineyard showed up with him, and Brother Vineyard went out with the guy, and the guy went out and went and made his visits for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, knocked on the doors, visited people, you're going to come tomorrow, good, how you doing, da-da-da, got all the visiting done, and he said, okay, so I don't know, I only have 10 or 12 people in my bus, and what do? He said, are you done? He said, what do you mean? He said, are you done with your work? He said, yeah. He said, oh, I know the problem. He said, let's go. And Bernard Vineyard proceeded to take him 10 more hours door knocking. And the next day, they had 40 visitors on their bus. And he says, I have the solution. We figured it out. And the guy, instead of having 10 or 12, he had 50-some people on his bus. And he said, there's a solution right there. Work hard. Can I tell you, hard work is vital in everybody's life. I never want anybody idle. And I don't care. I literally don't want you idle if you have no arms and no legs. I don't want you idle. It is terrible for any human to be idle. If you have no arms, no legs, then you ought to go and with your teeth try to draw something for Jesus. You ought to find some kind of phone you can use and call people and just go through the phone book and call people, ask people if they want to be saved. You ought to go and use your mouth and use one of those wheelchairs and go around and go and try to go and encourage somebody and go find somebody whose heart is broken and try to comfort them. Never, ever be idle. It's terrible for humans. It's terrible for your health, but it's terrible for your soul. And especially ministry work. Any pastor who is worth his salt, the church would never want to pay him by the hour. It would be, the church would go broke if they were worth anything. Because the ministry is hard work. I think you ought to work hard at your job. I think you ought to work for Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 3, you work for the Lord, not for man. I think you ought to be busy in life. If God's blessed you and you're retired, that does not mean you stay around and watch TV for 11 hours a day. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and work 10 hours a day because you're retired. You worked hard, you're older, you earned it. And you know what? You can still be busy doing good things. And I would even plant a garden. I would just not be doing nothing. Hard work keeps people out of trouble. It keeps people out of trouble. And I want to say this, men especially, men, when you are not busy, you become weird. I mean that. Men who are not busy get weird. Pretty soon they're hiding from Bigfoot and wearing tin hats, and they just get weird. I mean, they're already conspiracy. They get weird doctrinally. Men should not have too much time to think. They think weird thoughts. I mean, they don't know they're weird. And they, but what they think is they think all the world is becoming insane and crazy. And everybody's weird in the world. Because they got so weird. And they don't even see it. You need to be busy, 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 doing something. And finding something to do. And Paul was a hard worker in the ministry. And I want to say this. If you want to produce fruit in the ministry and see souls saved and lives influenced, you got to work hard. You got to knock on a lot of doors. You got to talk to a lot of people. You got to go, you got to witness to people. You got to disciple people. And it's hard work. It's just what it is. Got to be busy. and labor. And not only is it long hours, but also it's labor and striving. We already read there in Galatians, but let me take it just right back to Colossians, right before Thessalonians. it's also labor and striving. Colossians 1, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in the mighty. A lot of you know this already. When you're trying to see lives change, you're striving. It's a battle. the people go back into sin and you're trying to pull them back, and it's like they want to jump off the cliff and you're grabbing them, pulling them back on the cliff. I mean, it's work. It's work to produce souls. Paul was saying, Galatians, why are you guys going back? I'm laboring. I'm travailing, trying to bring you and keep you in Christ. See, we've got this terrible human nature that just all of us are prone to wander by nature. And so trying to keep people from wandering while you're trying to keep yourself from wandering. In other words, you're not only swimming upstream against your very nature in the world, you're trying to drag other fish with you. You're trying to pull other people away from Satan and away from sin. And it's labor and it's work. And if you're not careful, it's frustrating. You're going to do that again? And it is labor and striving. And you can read Corinthians and you can read Galatians, and you'll find a person who is laboring and striving and fighting and battling to try to keep people back in the will of God and from ruining their lives. And the church is doing, I mean, and I heard a statement one time, and I've always never forgotten it. Never underestimate the power of human stupidity. And you really, never. I am the Corinthian church. You got a man walking around church bragging about sleeping with his stepmom. Hey guys, you think you might want to do something about this? I mean, these people are saved and finally understand the joy of being saved and salvation through Christ. And they say, you know what? I want to go back to the law and go back to work salvation. I think I need to keep all the commandments to be saved. And Paul's saying, that's why most great men of God are bald. They pull their hair out. And so it's labor and striving. He had a hard working ministry. And now it's also laboring in prayer. Let's go back to Ephesians. Laboring in prayer. Prayer is laboring. I mean, you're begging God, you're fighting against Satan. And let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Am I in Galatians or I'm in Ephesians? Did I say Galatians or Ephesians? Okay, good. We're right. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. That's a lot of intense prayer. And then 1 Thessalonians, I should have kept you there, chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, night and day, praying exceedingly. Night and day. Can you pray a lot if you can't do anything else? Let's say you don't have the ability to go door to door. You're in a wheelchair. Okay. You can't go up steps. You can't do a lot of things. Can you pray for the harvest for a few hours a day? I mean, can you labor in prayer at least? And I want to tell you, when you really get the prayer thing where you're not just now lay me down to sleep and all that stuff, just simple little things. I mean, when you're really begging God for someone you love and you're really begging God to bring somebody back to God for revival, and you start laboring in prayer, you'll find yourself sweating. David Brainerd, if you ever read about his prayer life, he would get so burdened for the Indians, he'd be riding through the Northeast up in New England, and he would, in the middle of winter, be riding his horse because he was circuit riding to tribes. And he'd get so brokenhearted, he'd just fall off his horse into the snow and start praying. And he would pray for hours laying face down in the snow. And when he would get up from his prayer 3-4 hours later from begging God, the snow would be melted away from him a foot in each direction. He was praying so passionately. It's laboring in prayer, begging God. That's what he says, laboring in prayer. And so it's a hard-working ministry. And I think that's probably a big hindrance to churches doing anything for God, is because they don't work hard. They're not out there in the field of harvest. And when you're not out in the field, it's pretty easy. If you're just sitting there waiting for the harvest to come to you, sitting inside the barn saying, all right, we need some harvest to come in here, like most churches do, where they aren't out in the harvest. See, most churches' philosophy is how people come to church and get saved at church, where God's way is going out into the harvest field and bringing them there to be discipled. Laboring. Hard work. And you know, it's hard. and it's hard work to try to win people to Christ and make a difference in lives. You labor, and so that's not bad, but it's not easy. And so we have a hard-working ministry. It's hard-working. Diligent is a good word. Ron and I were talking yesterday about how his feet, he's been very tired this week, and he went door knocking three days. Feet were sore. And it's I mean, you got to go when you don't feel like it. And that just happens. And that's just part of the deal. You got to work hard. Next. His ministry was a ministry that endured hardness. I'm being Philippians. This is not the fun part of talking about the ministry. And I say ministry, I don't mean pastoring. A pastoring just means this is what you do all the time, but this is every Christian's job. We're all laboring. It's labor to bring forth godly kids and raise your kids for the Lord. It's laboring to go and help people in church to stay close to God. It's laboring for you to bring your friends to the Lord. It's laboring. All of us are supposed to be in the ministry. Just some of us are full-time and it's their career, but everybody's supposed to be the ministry. Every Christian's supposed to be in God's harvest field. Everybody's supposed to be doing something for God and trying to make a difference and striving together for their faith. It's a ministry that endured hardness. And we read a lot of that. You can see that by what we said. Philippians 4, watch how Paul talks, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that means be very low, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It says, I can handle anything that comes. I know how to be hungry, I know how to be miserable and handle it and keep on going. I know how to endure and suffer need, all of that. I've learned to endure hardness. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. Watch how he talks about his ministry. And verse 23. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. I work more. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. They do 39 stripes to you. 3 times, thrice was I beaten in rods, once was I stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day was I in the water, in the deep, swimming. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. And beside all those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, and who is offended and I burn not. Do you get the idea? Now I can take you to another passage. I'm not going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 12. He says the same type of things. I suffer all the time. I have been through it up and down, left and right. And that's just where I've been. And it's a ministry that knew how to endure hardness. And then 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 3 says, Timothy says, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he says a second time in 2 Timothy to Timothy, the young pastor, endure hardness as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 4, 5. He tells the pastor, endure hardness. The ministry is tough. And you go through it. But Paul didn't sit here and say, I'm miserable. He said, I just tough it out when I have to tough it out. And I enjoy serving Jesus. You know, he was full of joy. He said, I have no greater joy. I have this joy. He says, I thank God. And he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Paul was not miserable because he knew how to endure hardness. And I find enduring hardness is completely a mindset. You know, when the Bible says in Philippians 1:29, it's given unto you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. I find that when you come with a mindset of suffering, it changed the whole Christian life. See, I love football. If you said, let's go play a football game today, Pastor, I'd say, let's go, man. And it wouldn't be touch. I like tackle. And I like to hit hard. And you know what's crazy? I like to get hit hard. Some guy comes and smashes into me, knocks in the ground, and I say, man, ouch, that was an awesome hit, man. Good job. I mean, if for some reason, it's fun. I don't know why. Because I'm playing football. But if I'm standing there preaching, all of a sudden you run up here and tackle me and hit me real hard, I'm not going to think it's fun. I'm going to kill you. And I'm not going to think it's fun. Why? Because I'm not expecting it. And it's not part of the plan. You see the difference? In the Christian life, there are some people who think, you know what? I'm in a fight. The Bible calls it a war. Wars aren't easy. And I'm in a war. And they say, you know what? Satan's beat me up. I'm suffering physically right now. You know what? Emotionally, I'm down right now. You know, my friends forsook me, or my family hates me, or whatever. And you say, but you know what? Jesus did this for me, and I know this is part of the deal, and it's going to be tough. I'm tired, but I got to go to church today. And you do it. And you say, I just have to suffer for Jesus. That's the mindset you come in. And then all of a sudden, what you do is you say, I live in America, and I'm serving Jesus. This is gravy. Nobody beats me. Nobody throws me into jail. The Muslim hordes don't come through and kill me and my family. I'm not getting diseases. I got it great. And you really feel like so all of a sudden, your family goes and mocks you and says, you're a Jesus freak. You used to go, I can't believe this. They did that. That's my mom, and I can't believe this. I was serving Jesus in a bad man. Now they make fun of me. You say, you know, if that's the worst I ever go through. You see the difference in the mindset? I mean, they used to line up families and start with the youngest child and tell the dad, renounce Christ, and kill the youngest one. Kill the next one. Kill the next one. By the way, grab them by their feet and bash their heads against rocks in front of dad. If dad wouldn't deny Christ, just go to the wife and then to him. And I read that stuff. And I read the history of Christianity and see the suffering. And they said, hey, this is a privilege to suffer for Jesus, as they did in the book of Acts chapter 5. They rejoiced, they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And then I read our missionary letters, and I find out, and I follow Christianity and Christians under persecution in Iran or in China or in other countries, and I look what they're suffering through. And then American Christians come, and they say, I can't come today. I'm tired. And I go, that's it? You're a little tired, and you're not coming to church? You're shy, and you're not going to go soul winning because your ears are going to turn red a little bit. That's your suffering, and you won't do that for Jesus? That's why I'm not a good pastor in America. I'm not super sympathetic. Because they're a bunch of wimps. And by the way, our pastors are wimps now. They made fun of me. They criticized my message. They didn't kill you? They didn't take you behind the church and beat you for an hour? Nah, you don't got it too bad. I'm the worst comforter in the world. But I come into this thing, I'm ready to die for Jesus. And don't come to me with wimpy American whininess. I hope I can get better at it someday. I know I need to understand the people I pastor. But you know what? I read Paul's life and say, I don't want to face him someday and say, hey, Paul, do you know what they said about me? He's going to go, that's all I did is say something? Look at my back. I'd be humiliated to face that guy if I were the average wimpy Christian. Let alone my Savior when he greets me with scars on his hands and feet. Okay. Now you know how I really feel. I'll go back to being, I know it's tough. And so, I talked to Brother Larry Smith, who's in his mid-70s and knew a lot of old great men of God. And I said, my generation, they're quitters, and they're very soft. I said, what are we going to do about that? He says, I have no idea. He says, you have to understand, he says, your generation never suffered anything. He says, the men of God who I followed all grew up in the Depression. So they were already tough. The only thing the average kid goes through now is something happens, his video game doesn't work right. And he thinks he's suffering. By the way, that's why I love going to the mission field, because they have that mindset already. They're tough. They're already suffering. Life's hard in most of the world. You know how hard daily existence is in much of the world? I mean, it's hot. It's hard to get food. The water's dangerous. There's dangers of people killing you and robbing you. You can't call the police. They're used to hardship. And to serve Jesus and the suffering, they have to give up some things. Give up some things. And so he said to me, he says, I don't know what we're going to do, how we're going to have tough enough people to really be in the ministry. And it's very true. How are we going to have tough enough people to go to a country? See, Brother Hanada is Filipino. That's why he's in Haiti. We don't have the Americans doing the job in Haiti. It's too hard. And by the way, I'm glad I'm not there. I go there and I leave after 10 days. And it's hard on me. Why? Because I'm used to comfort and ease. Because as much as I come with a suffering mindset, I'm not used to suffering. And I just know that about myself. Now, if God called me to there, I would go there and I'd stick. I would stay there. And I would make it. I might die there, but I'd go there. However, I wouldn't do as well as Brother Hernandez does. He grew up in Negros Island in the Philippines. He's used to hard times. And by the way, that's why I think the brown people and the black people are going to be the ones to reach the world. Americans have been doing this and trying to reach the world. Fortunately, the generations that went were the tougher generations and have reached these countries. Now the Africans are reaching Africa, fortunately, because the Americans go there and it's very difficult on Americans today. Someone asked a guy who runs a mission board, they said, what are the top 10 reasons that missionaries leave the field? And they said, well, number 10 is the wife, number 9 is the wife, number 8 is the wife, number 7 is the wife, number 6 is the wife, number 5 is the wife, number 4 is the wife. The wife says, this stinks. God called you, not me. Let's go. I don't like the heat. I don't like the people. I don't like the food. I don't like the this. And by the way, if you think the mission field is glorious, it's not. The glory lasts a month. Then all of a sudden you say, you know what? I eat this food because they wanted me to. I really don't like this food, and I can't get my food. There's no chocolate chips here. And they melt if I get them. And lifestyle. And so you got to come in with this enduring hardness mindset. Paul just endured. He said, this is tough. All right, we keep on going. What you got to do? Got to be tough. You just have to be tough. You don't have to be strong physically. You have to be able to handle hard times and keep on going. And when you're discouraged, what do? You keep on going when you're discouraged. What do you do when you don't feel like it and you're all down and depressed? You keep on going and you're down and depressed. You're tough. That's what you do. You know people call off work now because they're down? Do you know that? I'm not talking they're physically sick. I mean, I just feel down today. And they call off work. I mean, we are soft. You know, people skip church all the time because they're down. Dumbest thing to do, by the way. It's like saying, I'm not going to the hospital because I'm sick. I'm too injured to go to the hospital. The church is the place you're supposed to go when you're down and then having hard times. And that's what you're supposed to do. All right, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm an American pastor. I pastor Americans. You know, if you can do anything for God, it'll be great and God will accept it. All right, point number five. Ministry, he was in the ministry before he was officially in the ministry. We touched on this last week. I won't spend a lot of time, but Acts chapter 9. How many want me to be mean and express the tough it out wimpy guy? How many want me to just keep on doing that? All right, how many want me to be soft and tell you you're fine and you're good to go? Okay, we got both of them. I understand. And I get it. How many of you want me to do it but don't want to do it? You just like me preaching like that. All right, and okay. Acts chapter 9. And verse 20. It says, "And straightway as Zethar saved, he preached Christ in synagogues that he is the Son of God." And we read these verses. But Paul got in the ministry, Acts chapter 12, before he's in the ministry. And Barnabas, verse 25, "And Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry." Now, Acts chapter 13, right after this, the Holy Spirit says, "Anoint them and separate them and ordain them." But they were already doing the ministry work before then. He was doing ministry work because he's a Christian. And let me go back just for a second here to what I was just saying. Just for a second here. I'm not looking for suffering. I'm not saying, let's go suffer. Just becoming a target of Satan, you suffer enough. I don't want to say, let's all go suffer. I don't think you should be sadistic. I think you do what God wants you to do and keep on doing it no matter what. You'll suffer plenty. And the amount that you and I suffer to us is our limit, and that's good. Because you go to your limit of suffering for Jesus, and to you it's going to church every single Sunday when you feel down. To the person in northern Sudan, who the Muslims might follow them to church, their suffering is way greater, but it's just as hard for either one of you because God gives grace and because we're soft. So you suffer your best for Jesus, and you'll get just as much treasure in heaven because you are doing your best, but you just do what everything God has you to do. You'll suffer plenty. Don't look for suffering. It'll happen. Satan will target you when you do anything for God. And you doing your best and staying faithful to God, you'll suffer plenty, and it'll be very difficult for you to keep on going. Just the same amount. I will suffer just as much if I run 100 yards as if a person who's in good shape runs 1,000 yards because of the shape I'm in. Maybe more. So don't look for suffering. Don't try to do it. It just happens. Next, it was a ministry to all people. Yikes. Short on time. Romans chapter 1. A ministry to all people. What a great ministry. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He says it's the salvation, that the gospel is for everybody. And I'll read one more verse in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." That's Paul talking again. So Paul's ministry was a ministry to all people. Paul was told in Acts chapter 9, it was said that he's going to be going to the Gentiles and to kings and to the children of Israel. He was a man who had a ministry to everybody. And that's great. I think that a biblical ministry is diverse. Now, if you're in an area where everybody's of one race, one background, that's fine. You're going to have one type of person, but you're inviting everybody of every type. You're not afraid. And I want to say that that's true whether you're in the South and you have all white people in your church because you're in a white area and your area doesn't mix. Many of the pastors, I've known several pastors who went in the deep South and they started bringing African-Americans at church, and they had a fight. They had a fight. And by the way, all of them won the fight, but they lost a lot of people in their church. They were racist. And the same thing can happen. You could be in the middle of Africa, and that tribe doesn't come. We don't mix with that tribe. Well, yes, you do. Doesn't matter if they're the tribe you used to fight with 20 years ago. Doesn't matter. The gospel's for everybody. And it's for red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. There is it doesn't matter. We don't care if somebody's rich, they get treated good. If somebody's poor, the gospel's for them. If somebody's black, the gospel's for them. If they're white, the gospel's for them. If they're Asian, the gospel's for everybody. And because it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Paul was not real discriminate. He just went out and wherever he landed, whoever he saw, that was it. That's who he was going to witness to. And so that's a good thing. The gospel is open. Don't ever think anybody is not worthy of getting the gospel. Don't think there's anybody. Now, of course, our church doesn't struggle with this. We are the most diverse church you'll ever find. We have everything under the sun in our church, always. Why? Because that's what God's like. God doesn't care. And don't look down on anybody. And we can even sometimes, I've seen people even not like people because of their financial status. Right now, there's a lot of hatred towards rich people. You know, rich people need saved too. And if a rich person comes to church, they need treated well. Just as much a poor person, just as much a homeless person. Doesn't matter. He's a God. He brought a gospel to everybody, a ministry to all people. And that's why we support missionaries so we can get it around the world. The gospel is the ground's level at the cross, at the foot of the cross. It's for everybody. And so Paul had a ministry that was diverse to everybody, to every group. For a while he was going to the Jews, for a while he was going to the Greeks, for a while he was going to everybody. He just went to everybody. He just wanted people to be saved. Slaves, when he's in prison, his new church members were all prisoners and criminals. Didn't matter. It was for everybody. Everywhere you are is a chance to spread the gospel. Everywhere you are is God opening a door. You're with the human. You're with the doctor, time to talk to the doctor. You're with the cook, time to talk to the cook. With your neighbor, time to talk to your neighbor. It's the gospel is for the whole world. So we had a ministry to everybody. And that's a great, great thing. All right, questions. Everybody's afraid of me now. All right, good. Good, good. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the Apostle Paul, Lord. What a good example he was to us, Lord. We'll never go through what he went through, I don't think, Lord. Eventually, he's martyred, had his head cut off. Before then, he had a body beaten and scarred, and even things that you let Satan give him a messenger and beat him. And yet, Lord, he never complained and said, this is fine. This is, I'm suffering for Christ. It's fine. Lord, help us to have this heart for people and a heart for you. And Lord, you said love endureth all things. Help us have that much love for Jesus that we would endure everything and have Paul's type of ministry, a hardworking, enduring hardness ministry to all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll see you back.